to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy be unto you. Appreciated those thoughts. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Something like that. John 15 says, "We abide in Christ." I bless you for coming. It's nice to see how the seating is arranged when there's no usher. Can everybody hear me? If you can't hear me for whatever reason, feel free to raise your hand. Last evening, I especially thought of it. The seating situation reminded me of Salvador days. A lot more bench room than people, and people had their favorite spots to sit. And I tried to encourage people, you know, to sit toward the front and be more together, both for the blessing of the singing and whatever. So I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm glad to be able to see you, and I bless all you here this evening, from the adults down to the children. That's one advantage of standing up here, is that the little children that are otherwise hidden can be better seen. Where I'm at, we're all on one level, and I like that too. Everybody's on one level. But we're small enough, I can pretty well see everybody, unless they're sleeping on Mama's lap. Today I was trying to imagine Sharon Koblenz living here with her two little children. The reason I can't, because I've never seen that. And then we were at Allen's for supper, and I was trying to imagine her living just across the yard there with her two little children. And for those that might not know, she lives among us now. I think I said that on Sunday, but maybe not all of you were there. So do continue praying for Mrs. Koblenz and her children. I have a card here if somebody has something specific, a greeting you want me to pass along. I want to remember that, take it to heart, but I think her phone number is still the same, so there's another way of communicating as well. I know her first area code is 509. Is that local? 509? How many here have ever served at Faith Mission Home since its beginning? Okay. If not, that's fine. I thought I should make a connecting point if you are. The title I saw was Consistency Challenge. So I looked up consistency in the Bible. In the Strong's Concordance, I didn't find it. I looked up challenge. Is that word in the Bible, challenge? I found it one time. I'm not going to read it necessarily, but it's, I think, in Exodus 22. And not necessarily meaning the same as we use it. Do you hear the cry for the consistency challenge? The cry for consistent Christian living. We need older men who are consistent. We need younger men who are consistent. We live in a world where, and even church world, where there's maybe too much mixed up values, and we wonder, we're confused. Maybe it's a stumbling block for some. Oh, by the way, back at Cataldo, we learned a verse all together, and some of you missed out on that. And someplace where we were for a meal, the youngster was trying to quote the verse, and he didn't know it. So, and I don't have another theme verse, so maybe I'll just make sure everybody here knows that verse till the end of the week. Psalm 119, 165. Say it with me. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what? I'd like to encourage the parents. Maybe you're doing it already. Your children are really exercising themselves to memorize Scripture in school. And I suppose they do some reviewing at home. Learn it with them. Learn it with them. I used to enjoy that challenge, but I've kind of given up on trying to learn 3 or 4 verses a week with the children in school, but it's a good discipline, a good practice. So this evening I'm inviting you to use the mirror and to turn it the right way, this way. Sometimes in the way we look at other people, we go like this. We use a mirror and just look out and see the other person. I'm going to start with Matthew 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talked about consistency. I'll define the terms here after a bit, but I'd like to turn to this scripture first. Matthew 7, 3 to 5. It mentions the mote and the beam here. Mote and beam. So every time it says mote, I'll say little inconsistency. When it says beam, I'll say big inconsistency. And I might change the word for eye without changing the meaning of this verse, I don't think. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the little inconsistency that is in thy brother's life, but considerest not the big inconsistency that is in your own life? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little inconsistency out of thine life, and behold, a big inconsistency is in thine own life? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the big inconsistency out of thy own life, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the little inconsistency out of thy brother's life. Is it okay to apply it that way? I think so. It occurred to me also that this is all part of being faithful. Last evening we were considering the need to be faithful. Be faithful unto the end. This is part of it. Being consistent. Rising to the challenge of being consistent. So what do we mean by consistency? Well, it does not mean contradictory. It means compatible, harmonious, conforming to a single set of principles. As a noun, agreement between things, acts, or statements, logical connection, the condition of holding together, harmony, agreement with what has already been done or expressed. I can go along with that. Do you hear the call? Do you accept the challenge? To be consistent. And the word challenge, as I use it this evening, I use it as sometimes they do at testimony time. Oh, I was really challenged by the message. What do they mean? Well, I was really stirred, or I was really made to think or consider deeply about this matter. Challenged, which is good if it's a step toward change. If it's a step toward consistency, then it's good to be challenged. Challenge the quality of requiring full use of one's abilities, energy, and resources. I hold up the challenge to you and me. And if somebody commends me for a message, sometimes I'll just say it was first of all spoken to me. The mirror is turned this way. And that's what the Amish preachers always humbly said. When Episcutus Fogadrock disvadet and give it God dea. If anything good came forth, then give God the glory. It was spoken first of all to me. So I'd like to look at two prime examples of consistency. Maybe before I do that, I'll just give a little illustration of inconsistency. This is just an illustration, and it's not the way it ought to be. Oftentimes in the morning, I'll wake up and start moving around with some inconsistency in my lower back. I might look like an old man and walk around like this because it hurts down here. Something is not consistently connected or operating. Maybe the tendons are inflamed or muscles a little bit out of joint. But whether I go to the chiropractor or not, and I haven't for many, many years now, till a couple hours later, if I do what I should be doing, it's okay again. Inconsistency is when there's not harmony there. When things are consistent, then life is a blessing. You enjoy going on your walk. You enjoy going up and down the ladder when things are consistent in your body. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I heard that many times when I was a youngster. Jesus is consistent. He's constant. As he was in time past, so he is today. And we can trust that he will be faithful. He will be consistent, constant, all the way to the end, for eternity. Jesus, our leap. I should read a few more verses there in Hebrews 13 that relate to consistency. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's just a few verses before verse 8. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus, who is our helper, our companion, same yesterday, today, and forever. So he'll be our helper yesterday, today, and forever. And he won't leave us yesterday, today, and forever. He's consistent in sticking with us. He's our prime example. Really, he is. So if you think about Jesus, did he live above reproach? Did his preaching, did his talking match his walking? Yes, it did. He couldn't deny his very nature. Did he ever contradict himself? He ever stayed with the truth. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's our challenge. That's our calling. To show the way, to always be truthful, and manifest forth his life. And verse 9 might be connected with this too, the verse that follows. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. I'll stop there. For us, the consistency challenge is to be consistent, no matter what kind of doctrines are floating around, where some might be carried about and go up and down and they don't know what they believe anymore. We're called to be consistent. Verse 7, the verse before, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's a consistency challenge for all preachers and fathers and school teacher. But maybe it's thinking especially now of the leaders, those that have the rule over you. Their manner of life be consistent so that you could safely follow their example and you'll be on the right path. So I hold that before you as the challenge. Leaders, preachers, parents. Another aspect of Jesus being consistent was his relationship with the Father. He was one with the Father. He was in harmony with the Father. I don't think the Father and Jesus ever had an argument or a disagreement. Jesus, the Son, always deferred to the Father. They were one. A consistent life is one with the Father. And I think in the Christian church, a consistent son would be one with his consistent Father. Father and Son on the same page. I think maybe that's one of the glaring inconsistencies of our day, is when Father and Son are in the same church, but their values are so different. So different. What happened? Where's the consistency? I know we have diversity among us, but there should also be great harmony and consistency. Our Lord is always consistent in his promise keeping. Genesis 8:22, I don't think I'll turn to that. It says, as long as the earth remains, shall continue. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, everything's on schedule, even in Washington. Because God is consistent. He's faithful. He's faithful. I like to look at mottos, and at the Schrock House, I saw it today. It said, God is faithful on a plaque. God is faithful. We're called to be faithful. Another premium example of consistency is this book, the Bible, the Word of God. I get a lot of suggestions that it's not. I hear people suggest that the Bible has many contradictions. I soon dispel that. I help them to understand that the Word is not contradiction, it's complementary. Contradiction? It might contradict what we think. It might contradict your way of life. But the Word of God does not contradict itself. I don't hesitate to say that. It's in harmony with each other. So if there's a passage you don't understand, you compare it with the whole. And if still you don't understand it, the contradiction is not here. It's probably in your understanding. So I'm suggesting again that, don't buy into it. If somebody wants to give you a book with 100 contradictions in the Bible, I wouldn't take it. Don't buy into it. Don't let somebody lead you astray or let you believe that maybe we can't trust this book anymore. It's faithful. There's a verse in Psalm somewhere where it says every word of God is faithful or true. Psalm 19 from verse 7 to 12 mentions what the Word of God is really like. It's true and trustworthy and sure and enlightening. And so I think as we live by this book, by this consistent book, then we'll live consistently. That's the challenge for us. You still have your mirror turned this way, looking at yourself. And I'm looking at myself. Many other examples could be found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 in particular. Think of those men whose walk matched what they talked about. Their work and obedience were one. Think of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, David, etc., etc. We say it's the faith chapter, heroes of faith. Yes, they were also heroes of faithfulness. Heroes of consistency, where they were obedient. Their faith moved them to obedient response to what God called them to do. They were faithful. They were consistent. You remember when Jesus met Nathanael early on in John 1 and what he said about him? Behold, an Israelite in whom is no, what's the next word? Guile. What's that mean? No deceit, no falsehood, no duplicity. He's for real. He's different than the average Pharisee. Maybe I shouldn't say average. He's different than many Pharisees. He was genuine. He was real. It says no guile. I think that's consistency when there's no guile. As you see him, that's the way he is. As you hear him, that's the way he actually is. Behold this man. And while you see him and admire him, then let's aspire to be like him. Behold a Mennonite from Chihuahua, in whom is no guile. He's just as good as his word. If he said so, I can count on it. What would Jesus say of you? Behold, another Mennonite hypocrite. Or a consistent believer, a consistent brother, a consistent sister. When you die, people will remember all your good points. What do they remember now about you? Do they see consistency? A life that is consistent. That's a challenge for me. That's a calling for me. I'd like to suggest that challenge is calling. We're called to live this way. Let's look at together at Luke 11. I think we all ought to see this. I just am so thrilled by, or so challenged, moved by what this says, what Jesus said. It's red letters. I enjoy listening to the rustling of the leaves. It affirms that somebody is looking for the reference. Behold it with me. I want you to notice as we read it three times, these three verses, there's a phrase that is repeated three times. The light of the body is the eye, therefore when thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, if that doesn't speak of complete consistency, what does? The phrase I took note of is full of light, or whole, whole. Full of light, it says three times. Then it says a time or two, no part dark. Are we full of light? And no part dark. There's no glaring little or big inconsistency. I can't see it, even a mote or a beam. Do we have a clear, radiant testimony? Later in this same chapter, six times Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Not because they were consistent or full of light, but the opposite. They were hypocrites. They were inconsistent. That's what a hypocrite is. Inconsistent. Something doesn't line up. Something doesn't harmonize. So what's hypocrisy? It's a cover-up, acting under a feigned part. I repeat, it's inconsistency. That's what a hypocrite is. Professing without possessing. Great contrast between the outside and the inside, perhaps. It consists of a basic dishonesty to God and man. Why would we want to go there? So, how could we be guilty of such inconsistency? How could we be guilty? I'm going to look at various scriptures here. I was amazed how clearly the scriptures speak, but we'll take a song break at some point, but not at this point. Let's consider again those opening words that I read from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talked about the mote and the beam. So, what was the inconsistency there? How do you define that? One person saw a beam, when in reality it was a mote, or from another's perspective. So there was a different standard of judgment for myself than for others, and that's inconsistent. When we look at others differently than ourselves, or use a different standard. No, we can be so severe with how somebody else is inconsistent, and yet we're very gracious to myself for being not quite genuine, not quite true. I'm quick to justify myself. Can you identify with that? I'm quick to justify myself. What I did, I have good reasons for that. But what I see in you, we could probably come up with a document against this. We have all the reasons to decry what he's doing. It looks like a big beam. Maybe because we're not looking through a mirror, but this time we're looking through a magnifying glass or binoculars, whatever it takes. Binoculars you can see from afar. Dave likes to get out his binoculars and look at those little ducks and swan and amplify them. And we can do that, look at people's faults. Oh, they just look so big. Whereas ourselves, maybe we flip the magnifying glass over and it looks okay or normal. We know that potential. I think we do. So the challenge is to be consistent. So now let's turn to Romans 2. And this speaks so plainly to us. Romans 2. Maybe I'll read verse 1 first. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Judging somebody else as wrong, we're doing the same thing. How can this be? Now look at verse 21 to 23. And preachers, tune in. Teachers, tune in. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thy God? We've heard the phrase that we should practice what we preach. It's true. Practice what we teach. It's so practical. If I go from this place this evening and I allow inconsistency in my life, woe is me. Woe unto me. I'm pronouncing judgment on myself. I repeat, when I give a message, it should be first of all spoken to me. The mirror should be turned this way. And your mirror is turned that way as well. It was inconsistency of the Pharisees that they taught such wonderful things, but they didn't do what they taught. They had some good teachings. And Jesus said one place, do as they say, but not as they do. Something like that. Do we teach Matthew 18 and then practice otherwise? Do we preach hospitality and then never have anybody at our house? Do we teach obedience to our children and they're watching us? We go speeding down the road 90 miles an hour. I hope not. Or whatever. Do they see us being disobedient? Yes, the consistency challenge is to practice what we say, whether it's teaching or preaching. The next point is John 7. I don't know, I might have some of this for Sunday morning or whenever the Lord's Day message is assigned. But in John 7, we read of some Jews that had a real issue with Jesus, what he did on the Sabbath day. You know that story? There was this man that was healed in chapter 5 on the Sabbath day of all things. He was wonderfully healed. He had been sick for a long time. And Jesus said, be made whole. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. But the Jews just had a real hard time with this. Instead of rejoicing that he was made whole, this happened on the Sabbath. So Jesus had something to say about that in John chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. He's talking about this healing in chapter 5. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me? Because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Sometimes you wonder, why did Jesus do so many works of mercy on the Sabbath? This isn't the only case. There was a reason for that. I'll save some of that for later. But even in this case, he showed mercy, and they were upset. They showed mercy to animals. They'd pull an ox out of the well, if he fell in on the Sabbath, he needs to be taken care of. And they'd go ahead and circumcise on the Sabbath, it sounds like. But what Jesus did on the Sabbath, they had an issue with that. And so I think Jesus is calling them to consistency in verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Let's move on to another. Let's sing a song. I think it's in both books. I looked it up in the purple book, 461. Would men know? Men are watching what you're doing. They really are. By looking at your life, could they see consistency? 461 in the purple books. I forget what number it is in the other book. And I'd invite the song leader to blow the pitch. And let's sing verse 2. I guess I'm seeing the clock there, and I have a few more points here. 1 and 2.
Would men know they do with Jesus? Can they take His presence near? As with them you joy and favor, as with them you journey dear. Can men tell that you love Jesus? Can they by your life and mine see in every walk and action that we have His life divine?
Would men know by word and action?
And I'd like to believe that the answer could be yes. That they can see Jesus in your life. They can see consistency in your life. And I just suspect that the people here in Washington are observant enough that they know whether you're for real or not. Your neighbors, your business associates, contacts, they know. They observe. Behooves us to rise in this consistency challenge, to be for real. The next few are from James. Let's turn to James 2 first. Again, this is so very practical, right from the Word of God. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Then it gives the example. If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, and give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is inconsistent. It's actually dead, being alone. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this subject. Just a few summary statements about this thing of faith. And works, not faith or works, but faith and works, or faith that works. It's all of a piece. I don't even like the idea of two rows, two oars. It's all of a piece. Front, back, it's one operates the other. One without the other is inconsistent. But somebody else has said, Faith and works are the 2 feet by which we walk, the 2 legs. I don't do well with just walking on 1 leg, do you? We're meant to walk consistently. Let them walk together. We don't make good progress by hopping. So the consistency challenge is to live out, work out our faith. Next example is in James 3, another area of consistency that all of us are called to. How many of you are memorizing this in school? Oh, yeah, the high schoolers are memorizing this. Yes. This is something about consistency in verse 9 to 12. This little flippery piece in my mouth, therewith, with that, bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Consistent tongue. Not double tongue, but a consistent tongue is what the calling is to. Note the opposites in each verse or each of those illustration. Would you be surprised or disappointed if your well or your spring had an irregular pattern? One day it would be nice and fresh, and the next day it'd be salty and not fit to give to your guests. Would you be surprised and disappointed? You would. Have you ever seen a tree that has both apples and pears on the same tree? Would you be surprised? Disappointed? No, nature's just more consistent than that. We know that. And God is not any more impressed with sweet and sour talk coming out of the same mouth, or honest talk and dishonest talk coming out of the same lips. Blessing God, thanking God for the food. And then it's about as soon as we're done thanking God for the food, we can maybe complain about this or that morsel that didn't turn out quite right. Children hear that. God hears that. And we bless Him, we praise Him on Sundays, we praise Him when we have meetings and Bible conference. Is that what is heard then the next day at the job? Call to consistency in the way we talk. A few other practical pointers I thought about. I speak to myself, and the mirror is still turned this way, and yours is turned towards you. Number one, home sweet home, where you can just kick off your shoes and be yourself. Right? Home sweet home. Just be yourself. Well, what are you like at home? Are you nice to live with? You're always kind and polite, like you are in church? Your children notice. I think the consistency challenge is for us to be in private or at home as we are in public. That's a challenge. Company manners equals home manners. I don't know if you tell your children, put on company manners. We got to do better than that. We're called to consistency. Be sweet anywhere to be consistent. The light that shines the furthest shines brightest at home. Some other thoughts on this are just practicals. In any church setting where they have anything of expectations, I like the word agreements. In our church, we have brotherhood agreements. Yeah, you can call them standards or regulations, but some people think that has a negative connotation. But we can have agreements where to unite us. So let's suppose that I'd be beholding inconsistency in our agreements where we're casting off some non-essentials. So we're reasoning in our minds, well, if this is not allowed or this is allowed, why not this? You ever reason like that? Or something's inconsistent in the document, so why can't I have a little bit of inconsistency in my life? Is that complete consistency? That kind of thinking. So it's all consistent when it lines up with my preferences, right? Wrong. That's not consistent way of thinking. Or maybe we might fuss about the inconsistency of having a different application in that church, or we do it one way when we're in the foreign field, and we do it another way here. That's not consistent, they might say. It should be universally applied. But alas, in the home church, they're okay with variety. That same person. Anyhow, you just want to be careful with this kind of reasoning where what we're doing is just allowing things that we really like, and maybe it's not really all that consistent. And nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think that fits right there with these thoughts. Maybe I'm just setting your minds awry, but I want to call us to just be consistent in the way we think and reason about things like this. Are we actually just trying to justify ourselves? Allow myself this and that that's not otherwise allowed? Or are we actually promoting unity? And beware of justifying my inconsistency because of my brother's inconsistency. So let's suppose Mr. Conservative, he really insists on things keeping it to the letter and to the T, but alas, he's not a good testimony on the job, and we notice that. So Mr. Open-Minded, he's strong on promoting love and heart issues, but he takes liberties to disown whatever agreements he doesn't like. Is that consistent? Do we need to be either one or the other camp? No. We don't need to divide the conservatives and the open-minded ones. And God's will is for all of us to be consistent and not to hide behind somebody else's inconsistency. I know I've said a mouthful, but the mirror is still turned this way. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And again, let's remember what Jesus taught us about the beam and the mote. He didn't say ignore them. Take care of your own, and then you can see clearly to take care of the rest as well. Oh, that our lives may be as windows through which the world may see Jesus, be drawn to him through our daily example of consistency. It's 8:00. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I pray there may be in each of our hearts a heart of faithfulness. And of us it could be said that, behold, there is one in whom is no guile, that we would be perfectly honest, consistent in as much as we know how. And we would not seek to justify ourselves, but rather to always be obedient, to be faithful in every area, confess when we do wrong, be unity builders instead of divisive. Bless this church, Pine Grove, right here in Washington, that they together may have a consistent testimony in this neighborhood. Each father may be consistent. Each mother, teacher, may the light go out in this place, the light of Christ. May they be full of light. May the joy of the Lord be their strength. And so bless Brother Dave as he further ministers to us. May we learn together, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.